Welcome to the Eagle Heights podcast, broadcasting live from Eagle Heights in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Sitting here with pastor, author, and connoisseur of mint ice cream, Brent Prentice. How are you doing today, Grindus?
I hate mint ice cream.
Well, that's good. You are a very poor connoisseur then.
I have a great disdain for it. I don't like it at all.
Really?
My children like it, but not me.
That's odd. Right off the bat, we'll note we have some brand new Eagle Heights podcast music. I've been diligently hard at work. You know, I loved our previous podcast music because it was random. So random. Mm-hmm. It was like this 70s era disco thing. But you know, we've moved on, we've transformed, and we're steaming forward. So we'd love to hear what you think about the new...
More than meets the eye.
Yes.
So is it from the 90s?
No. Brent Prentice only knows and recognizes music from the 1990s. He's heard of rumblings of other artists and other songs, but he refuses to recognize them.
That's true.
Can you name, other than Lecrae, can you name one song from this past year?
One song?
Just one song from an artist this past year.
And it's really no song at all.
What is it?
Gangnam Style.
That doesn't count.
Do you mean it doesn't count?
That's not a song. That's a YouTube sensation.
Is he not an artist?
No.
What about that song from those guys?
Exactly.
Are the Backstreet Boys still doing
it? Oh, good Lord.
That was in the 2000s, though, wasn't it?
Barely. On my 90s Spotify station, I Want It That Way came on the other day. They actually went on tour with New Kids on the Block, which, a 90s band, you'll recognize. And
I think New Kids on the Block was an 80s band.
They were late 80s. It depends which incarnation you're talking about. The I'll Be Loving You Forever.
Talking about... Whoa, whoa,
hanging tough. That was a fantastic album. I believe that one kind of transitioned them into the 90s band. You get into Step by Step, things of that nature.
Is that the 90s song? Goes, step by step, you'll lead me.
No, no, not at all.
I will follow you all of my.
You days. Almost had it. Step by step. Oh, baby.
When are we going to do that step-by-step song in the worship gathering?
Can we do the New Kids step-by-step?
No.
We can bring a little steps up there and go up and down. Step one. And Toby can go, we can have lots of fun.
Step. Wait, no. Isn't that step out of place? If step one is we can have lots of fun, don't you have to actually have a step one where you do something that creates the fun?
No, it's an overarching principle. Step one, understand that we can have lots of fun.
But it's a step. It's a step. Yeah. It's not an understanding. It's a step.
Well,
so
the understanding
implies
is the
action.
The understanding is the action of the step.
I disagree. You can wax.
It's like
vainly with your fancy words, but understand this, a step is a step.
Step one in any kind of, say, recovery process is admitting there's a problem. It's an understanding.
But that's a step.
It's an understanding that there is a problem.
Having fun is an action, not an understanding. We can have lots of fun.
We can have lots of fun. If it said step one, we have lots of fun, that would be an action.
Now, the folks out there might wonder why we're having such a heated argument over
this
a New Kids on the Block song.
Because step two...
What we're trying to teach you all is that it's hard to understand communication. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to interpret the Bible. If he's not guiding us in all truth, we're in big trouble.
That's true. If we can disagree over New Kids on the Block lyrics, what can we disagree over?
How do you like that? I salvaged that horrible... disagreement. What's step two?
Let me ask you this. I believe it's step one, we can have lots of fun. Step two, there's so much we can do. Step three, it's just you and me. Step four, I can give you more. Step five, don't you know that the time is right?
I don't like
step by step.
I don't like how that. I don't like what I think that song means.
What do you think it means?
Now you know what it means.
I don't know what it means.
It does.
All right, I'm gonna make a proposal to you, Brent Grindis. You can either say yes, I accept this, or no, I deem it irredeemable.
What if it's in a it depends quick answer?
We can discuss that.
Okay.
There is a concert coming to the Peak.
No.
The Chesapeake Energy Arena.
Okay.
It's New Kids on the Block.
Okay.
98 Degrees and Boys to Men.
Okay, so what's the question?
I propose that you and I go to this conference or go to this concert and report back.
I would feel like a podcast. Creep if I went to that.
If you went to that concert now, like back in 1998,
all my junior high friends would be there.
Probably.
That's frightening.
Would you go to that concert? If I said, here's front row tickets.
As much as I sing from the 90s, I'm actually living in the now. I cannot help that my memory is stuck in the 90s when it comes to songs, but I live in the present. I refuse to go and act like a child. Forgive me if you're going. I refuse to go and try to dredge up those horrible memories of junior high. What are we talking about today?
I refuse to acknowledge the idea that you live in the present when you cannot name one song, or your response to the one song is, are the Backstreet Boys still around?
I know all sorts of songs from today. I just don't know who wrote them.
Name one.
Lecrae.
No, other than Lecrae. Other than Lecrae.
Coldplay.
What song?
I don't know.
I don't think that Milo Zydato, their album.
How about Mumford and Sons?
If you said it correctly, I'd almost give you that.
Mumford and Sons.
I'm proud of you. Give me a name of a song.
I don't know.
That's not a name of a song.
How about that one song?
No. Sorry. Can't give you this.
All right, let's move on.
All right, Grindis. What if we go for Boys to Men, go eat dinner during 98 Degrees? Because no one except people want to see 98 Degrees.
I was trying to think of the name of that band, and if you want to call it a band. But anyway, hey, what are we talking about today? Oh, yes, I'm in charge of that.
Yes, Brent, you came in, you slammed my door, you said, I want control of the Equal Heights podcast.
I want the spirit to be in control.
True.
Of everybody.
Yes.
I want people to quit controlling themselves, and I want the spirit to be in control of me too. Hmm. So yesterday we talked, I used Nehemiah as a springboard text, honestly, to illustrate that God stirred in a man but did both spiritual and practical things. And we might argue, I suppose, that the practical becomes spiritual when it's God stirring in us. So we have to do some things that we need to do. To do the things that we should want to do and hopefully do want to do. And so, I talked about the wall that Nehemiah built, that it was symbolic of things going on in the lives of the people as they had this revival, that it was symbolic that there was unity, that there was leadership, that there was God was working in them. And then I went on to argue that our actual building means something, that what we're trying to do, hopefully, now it doesn't necessarily mean that, but hopefully it does mean something, that we intend to be here, we intend to gather to worship, we intend to do greater things for God, to have a holy ambition. And then I ended with just some, practical, these are action steps that you can take. And one of them, number one was, I said that you could honor the consensus or the majority of the church. You can honor the church, the decision of the church to participate in building up, which is our fundraising effort to add the additional square footage and renovate what we have. And so I believe that sometimes, as people are under the authority of God's word, and the church gets together in these kind of what we'll call gray areas. In other words, there's not a Bible verse that says build the wall or build to this building. When the church, the leaders lead and the church agrees and they speak, that it, in some regard, now I know this is true of church discipline, but in some regard it has this kind of binding, overarching authority for people in the church. In other words, I think God does speak through his people as he speaks through his word, as long as it's not in contradiction to his word. What do you think the limitations, what's the statute of limitations on that thinking? And I wrestled with it prior to yesterday's sermon and even after, because I don't want to turn the church into the Catholic Church where they're the Word of God, you know, where, but it makes sense to me that God's going to speak in those gray areas through people. What do you suppose the limitations are of my systematic thinking there?
It's an interesting question. Let me.
I mean, could we bully people against their conscience?
And, oh yeah.
Is it possible also though that their conscience is wrong? Like, so they say, well, the Lord hasn't spoken to me on this matter. Mm-hmm. What would you say if a church was almost in complete agreement and you had a small minority of people that were just like, nah, I don't see it. Don't think it's a good way to spend the money.
I think it speaks to the wisdom of a church being pastored by the biblical model of elders. Mm-hmm. So you don't have one guy saying, you know, I ascended the hill. I brought down the commandment to,
like Moses,
do a building. Yeah. And this is the Lord's will. And you're either
saying Moses was wrong, Ryan.
No, I'm saying Moses was right.
You're saying God was wrong, Ryan.
No, I'm saying in that context it was great. But I think many pastors today use that to say, when it comes to one of these deals that we have to do in order to do things we are called to do or want to do, it can be functionally abused. Here's what I appreciate about what you did yesterday. I think it would be very easy to take the book of Nehemiah and say, see, the church building is like the building of the temple. The temple
now,
is
wait a minute.
Not...
Wait, what do you mean? Nehemiah's about the wall.
Well, about the wall.
Okay.
But taking
Ezra's
the text,
about the temple.
Ezra, yeah. Yeah, like you said, why not go to Ezra? Why not do that? Because it's easier to get people all jacked up about, you know, this is God's will to do this for his name and, you know, pulling verses all out of context. This is the church and the gates of hell can't conquer it, so we need to build a building.
Right.
It's very easy, I think, to fall into that. I appreciated how you directly did not go that direction and said, you know what, in effect, we're building a wall because we need a wall. Mm-hmm. We're building a building because we need a building. It's interesting. I was listening to a podcast this morning from the Village Church, and Matt Chandler was talking about their facility and said that their building communicates. Just like you said, our building communicates, and they've done some renovation. They've built some buildings recently. But he talked about how
he probably read my blog.
Probably so. I guarantee you. He's just scouring it. So what shall I talk about?
Well, there's probably not a lot of blogs out there about what your building communicates.
That's true. But he was talking about how the what's the word that he used? I guess the fact that the building is more stripped down, so it's not real fancy, and you and I have been there. It's nice, it's aesthetically pleasing, it's well done, but it's not over the top. Mm-hmm. You're not going to find any stained glass, you're not going to find any expensive art pieces. there, and what it communicates is, same with their worship center, the fact that it is stripped down says, you know, says communicates that we are a stripped down church to the gospel. What we teach.
A stripped down church.
Yes. Now that's a different context, Grindis.
What? I'm just saying.
It's what they're serious about is the message and the gospel, and they want to point to that. Now, does it communicate that to some people? Probably.
Yeah.
Do some people
not think
get
about
that?
It, right.
Yeah, probably so. I think there is a difficulty, and Brent, you can speak to this. From what the architects are planning, from the directions that we've seen, from the architect that we've chosen, it's likely that our facility, just as our facility is now, will be relatively stripped down. It will be nice. It will be modern. It will communicate that, you know, we're not just in a big metal building.
A livestock barn.
Yeah, but this is what this is. You know, not to demean our current facility.
True.
They did an excellent job with the resources that they had, and now we're going to this next phase of the project. But where do you draw the line? Because considering this, we're going to need chairs for the sitting area. Mm-hmm. Now, we could go, as we've done in the past, we could go to Big Lots, get some chairs, you know, and pay $50, or get some industrial strength chairs and pay like $200. Mm-hmm. Where do we draw that line there in what is extravagant, what is nice for the building, mm-hmm. etc. Mm-hmm. How do you, as leadership of this church, decide on that?
Well, I think some of it is just comes back to honoring God with what we do have, practically speaking. So, you know, as you said, if you go to Big Lots, that's home furniture. So it just doesn't receive the wear and tear unless you have 10 kids. You know, it just doesn't receive the wear and tear that industrial furniture does. I mean, people, you know how it is. When it's in your home, you take better care of it. When it's somewhere else, it's not taken, you know, because, and we have visitors, and I'm not saying visitors are inconsiderate, but some people just don't take care of stuff. So it really kind of comes down to, in some regard, a practical matter. You know, now, is it ornate and is it decorated in gold like you'd see on Trinity Broadcast Network? No, we're not going to do that. But what we want to do is we want to buy something that's quality because you get what you pay for. We want something. We even did that when we did our lobby renovation. You know, we have a small welcome area. And we spent $7,500 while we went and got actual office industrial type furniture because we wanted it to last.
And they still look brand new.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas our Big Lots furniture is.
Well, it did well for us, but I think we would just acknowledge it's not the best way to go. So I think you got to strike the balance between getting something that looks nice so it doesn't look like Jesus is broke and God don't care. You know, we're not going to put out a call to the church and say, bring us your couches you don't want. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do that. This is not, this is not a swap meet. It's not an auction or a flea market. No offense to flea markets, but you know, I think you just got to balance all that. And I think people, and I hope, I don't know if I did this well yesterday. And you know, this is the problem with any time you try to communicate, you second guess it. But I don't think people realize. So we've had people say, and I think they say it with the best intention. They say, well, I don't really care what the building looks like. We just want a place to worship. Well, that's great that you think that way, but you've been coming here. You're committed. Some people come and they want to see because, you know, it's like if I walk into someone's office, and your office is clean and neat and organized. I remember walking into a guy's office one time. His trash was overflowing into the floor. His desk was a mess. There was junk in the carpet. And we might say, well, I don't care about his office. I care about the kind of character he has. Well, a cluttered office probably communicates something about the life of the man that has the cluttered office. Now, that's not always true. But you see my point? I mean, you come here, you want your kids to feel like, you know, my kid's not going to be eating bugs and garbage off the floor. You want things to be safe. And so all these things play a factor. From the corner of the road, do we want to communicate that there's something going on here, that people care about Jesus and the way that they care about where they meet? Or do we want to say, we don't care? And I think those things do come across.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely. This is, in a way, contextual ministry. And we talked about yesterday, why not just give all the money to mission? Well, in a big way, this is money to mission in our local context.
Yeah.
Because people, for better or for worse, in today's context of where we are, we judge, just like you said, the quality of something based on the larger whole, mm-hmm. the bigger picture. We do the same thing with restaurants, as you said, offices, you know, doctors, offices. Yeah, I've been to a doctor's office, you know, just like you said, hasn't been updated since 1962. Mm-hmm. There's stuff hanging off the wall, mm-hmm. and you're like, I hope this guy's a really good dentist because this stuff, you know, shows otherwise. But then also, you know, our Access Urgent Care, when they built that, you know, you're like, oh my goodness, what is this going to be? You walk in, it looks nice, it's clean. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, this is quality. Mm-hmm. I trust these people. And whether that's a right mindset or not, that's the mindset of today's culture.
It's a contextual mindset in the place that we live.
Yeah.
In this country. Yeah. Now, in China, that may not be an issue. People always like to point to house churches. Well, they just meet because in the New Testament, well, first of all, in the New Testament, they met in homes, and sometimes they met in really big homes, and sometimes they met in the temple courtyard. Mm-hmm. And they would meet in different venues that would accommodate their size. I mean, you can see that in the text. But, you know, they meet in homes in China because they don't put a church sign up because they'll go to jail.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. People just, look, we all tend, myself included, to rationalize our position And we're all infected by many, or affected and influenced by many things that we've heard and seen, and by people. Some people honestly just don't want to spend money. Mm-hmm. They don't want to give, bottom line, or they only want to give to the thing that they want to give. And so, you know, it kind of comes back to kind of bring the question back. You know, I think you really have to search your heart and say, you know, whether your excuse is, I didn't know, I wasn't at the meetings, or God just hasn't spoken to me about giving. I would challenge, especially the second premise, mm-hmm. that God hasn't spoken. I think God has spoken, and either you're right and everybody else is wrong, or the body has spoken, and we ought to listen to the body. So, you know, if you said, okay, I listen to the body and I still don't want to do what they want to do, then we would need to really question, you know, is that a sin, or is that just, I don't know. I mean, I'm not prepared to make a statement, but I think God has spoken to us sometimes. He speaks through his body, and he doesn't always need you to validate it, or yeah. me for that matter. You know, are we committed to this faith family or not? Mm-hmm. So anyway,
yeah. And considering the analogy that we're discussing, a body itself, if the leadership of the headship, you know, Christ, you know, obviously, if the earthly leaders, the elders, pastors of an organization feel going a certain direction, and I think one sign of this is that we're not overly spiritualizing it. When we started this, you know, you and I watched videos of other places in building campaigns, and they'd be like, you know, this is the Lord's work, this is the Lord's house, we're building him, you know.
And it is, but we're not gonna use that as a trump card to, you know, we're trying to keep it real. We're not gonna go Oral Roberts and say, unless you give me the money, God's gonna take me home.
Yeah.
You remember when Oral Roberts did that? Way in debt or whatever, they were trying to build something. I don't recall what. If God doesn't give me these millions of dollars, he's going to kill me. Mm-hmm. I haven't done that yet. Not planning on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think just as dangerous as the prosperity gospel that we preach against and we fight against here in America, mm-hmm. and they're fighting in Africa and other places, is this idea of the poverty gospel.
Yeah.
You know, you look at people like Lydia in the early Philippian church. You know, she was very well off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many people think that the Philippian church actually met in her house. When she came to Christ, they didn't say, now get rid of everything that you have. Mm-hmm. You know, get rid of all these material possessions, because
all the missions,
like some kind of Gnostic, you know, idea, because the material is evil.
Mm-hmm.
The material is bad. Mm-hmm. Instead, God used what she'd been given, mm-hmm. you know, to meet with the jailer, to help the slave girl, you know, to all of these things. And so I think the points that you put out on Sunday were very good. It communicates that we as a people have united together, mm-hmm. to go above and beyond for something,
mm-hmm.
which says that we as a people are wanting to go together, mm-hmm. for something much larger, you know, that being the gospel. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, we're not going into debt to do this. This isn't, you know, going out on a limb in that way. And functionally, as you said, we're building a wall. We're building a building, mm-hmm. so that we can facilitate more ministry here in the here through the church building. But at the end of yesterday, what we also did, and probably most importantly, we recognized people that God is sending out, people that financially were able to send and to go. Mm-hmm. So, and to be fair, you kind of addressed it in a very apologetic manner for the building, mm-hmm. but we don't have a huge tide of people against it, or there's not really, mm-hmm. a war in the church, mm-hmm. about this. Are there a couple people that are like, I don't know? Sure.
Yeah.
As with anything you're going to do.
Yeah.
But by and large, the church is behind it. The leadership is behind it. And so it's something we're excited about.
Yeah. I'd say on issues that are kind of, again, for lack of better words, what I'd call a gray area, meaning you don't have an explicit command saying do or don't do this. Really, probably the truth is the answer is never one extreme or the other. The answer is somewhere in the middle, mm-hmm. Or to one side or the other, to the right of center or left of center, however that looks. But, it, you know, hardly ever is it, don't ever build buildings because you got to give all your money. Well, we don't live like that. Nobody lives like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's living out in, you know, doing the booth of thing of booths.
The Feast of Booths?
Yes. You know, people aren't doing that. I mean, I don't see any of our members living in cardboard boxes or at the homeless shelter. Mm-hmm. So, One other question, real quickly. How much time do we? Where are we?
We are at 24:52.
We're done.
What's your question? I believe that we can finish it in 4 minutes.
You know, one other thing. So I kept talking about in those kind of 5 or 6 application points, what does the building mean? And somebody might argue, well, it could mean that without a building.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. So I'm not saying that all those things couldn't be, if we didn't have a building, we couldn't do those things. I'm just saying that the building is not a pointless thing.
Mm-hmm.
It does communicate. It does mean something. And so I was just anticipating that objection. Well, you know, we can be holy, ambitious in a holy way without a building. Mm-hmm. That's true. Paul did it. But
we can also be holy ambitious with a building.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I just want to point out that these aren't the kind of arguments that, you know, trump everything else. But I think they do add a value in adding a perspective that maybe people miss.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we don't want to over-spiritualize it. This is construction. It's a great goal. And from the get-go, this is something that we've stood with. You know, building up was more so an idea of making disciples, of building up the church. Mm-hmm.
So we did try to spiritualize building it in that way with the intent of actually accomplishing something that was good and biblical.
Yeah, and as you said, we see the fruit of that,
right?
Because people are, just from a financial standpoint, let's say, general giving is up. Mm-hmm. Missions giving is up because people are learning and looking at how to use finances for the glory of God.
Right.
This is all extra.
We've used Financial Peace University, and again, the money that's in the building fund is mostly building our money that otherwise wouldn't have been injected into the economy of the church at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's extra money. Now, some of us reworked our budgets to participate, but most mm-hmm. of that's money that otherwise wouldn't have gone, you know, maybe would have gone
like, Chick-fil-A
for my family. Well, for my family, honestly, we deferred our car payment for 3 years to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We said, we're going to just run up the miles on what we have and trust God that the old Alty hangs on for a few more years. But anyway, yeah, I think lastly, I just say, as I did yesterday, and I hope this came out, I mean, I want to commend our church.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I want to praise them in a God-glorifying way and commend them for mostly almost all of them being good followers, being good listeners, mm-hmm. being generous, supporting it. I know it's sometimes hard to support leaders and big ideas, and especially when right now we're not seeing a lot of results other than we're seeing the money accumulate, but we're going to start soon. And it really can be an exciting time. I think I struggle with it, the excitement part some as a pastor, because I feel like, you know, it's not a main thing, though it's a means to a main thing. But this is exciting. I mean, we're doing something big together,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully it translates into eternal kingdom things that are continuing long after this building is dilapidated and fallen to the ground.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that this is not per se this is something with spiritual implications, but it's
I think the practical becomes spiritual when it's done with the right heart.
Yeah, it's practical, and we're doing it, utilizing it in a spiritual way, mm-hmm. step by step.
Right.
And step number one is that we can have lots of fun. That's why you're excited.
Well,
one of our
guys that used to be an elder that's taken a kind of a sabbatical, he always used to say, you know, the church needs to have fun every once in a while. So, okay, mm-hmm. whatever.
Wisdom from New Kids on the Block.
There you go.
Well, Brent, and here's kind of the million-dollar question. We have a lot of university students who are taking finals, will be leaving. Talk to a couple who this is their last Sunday for, you know, the remainder of the summer. When they come back, can they expect to see something going on? What are they going to see about middle of August?
I hope so. I mean, I don't know. It's I'm ready. I'm getting antsy. I want to see progress myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal. But I don't know. I wish I could say.
Yeah. So there may or may not be said. There will be progress made.
Yeah.
Whether it's a picture of what we finalized on, or whether we've got some dirt moving, either way.
The natives are restless outside the door.
Exactly. Well, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Eagle Heights podcast. As always, you can text us during our worship gatherings. Give us your questions. You can also send them in on Facebook, facebook.com/Eagle Heights, or on Twitter @Eagle Heights. We appreciate all those of you who have been tweeting at us on Sunday mornings to share what God is doing, share what your thoughts are on Sunday morning. We always appreciate that, and it's encouraging and edifying to our church body. So keep that up. And as always, thanks for tuning in to the Eagle Heights podcast.